All right, we're back in Matthew chapter 7. And last week, the title of my sermon was Hate Every False Way. And, you know, I'm going to continue with that. Hate Every False Way. But this week, it's going to be Hate Every False Way, Hate False Prophets. Because I hate false prophets. And I've been thinking about this all week, and I've just been stewing about it, okay? And I didn't get through everything. Last week, I kind of ended up where I was talking about how the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, how they come to our doors and they try to pretend like they're Bible-believing Christians, but in reality they're not. And that we shouldn't receive them into our home, nor bid them Godspeed. Because he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed. So the JWs and the Jehovah's False Witnesses, the Mormons, Latter-day Satan, whatever you want to call them, you know, those are false prophets, and they're some of the worst. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that that Christ didn't literally rise from the dead. So basically, everybody in their religion, they can't even accidentally get saved. Because you can't be saved unless you believe in the resurrection of Christ. Okay, so they're just eternally damning anyone that believes that false religion. Look, you can get some of them saved, and I know that people have had a little bit of success with them, but they're very difficult to get saved. Once they get that twice dead, you know, mentality, once they've been given over to a reprobate mind and become a false prophet themselves, they can't be saved after that. And I'm going to show you that in some of these verses. But turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. I'm just going to show you some of the apostles and how Jesus warned us over and over again in the Bible about false prophets. And, you know, actually, I think I left off about the IFB Baptists that teach repent of your sins and how much I hate that. Because, look, I mean, they've crept into every Baptist church in the Northwest. They've crept into every Baptist church in the country. And they're preaching these lies. They're saying that they're almost worse than the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. Because in reality, they're acting just like they're one of us. Yeah. Like Judas Iscariot acted like he was one of Christ's apostles. But in reality, he wasn't. He was a wicked false prophet. And, you know, a lot of these churches, they might have people that are saved in them, but they have allowed and held hands with these. The saved Baptists have been almost overtaken by them. And, you know, you'll have church people in these churches that are saved, but, you know, the preaching's weak and watered down, and all these churches, I mean, there's no fire in them anymore. You know, I've sat under some preachers that just, you know, they don't have any fire in them. They just, you know, the only time they get mad is when you haven't, you know, made an offering or come up to the altar. Seriously. And I hate repent of your sins. It's the worst. But, you know, honestly, if you look at, I've been looking at this, I've been watching all those Hinduism videos that Pastor Anderson made, and, you know, there's one of them that says that basically the person, the God of their ultimate God, said that he made all the religions, and that's true, because the God of Hinduism is Satan, okay? And so Satan has made all these false religions, but really they all teach the same thing, that you got to work your way to heaven, you got to repent of your sins, you got to be a good person. I mean, we'll knock on doors. I knocked on a door last week of a guy who said that he was saved. Oh yeah, I'm saved. Oh yeah, how come you're saved? Well, I've been part of the Lutheran church for a long time. You know, it's usually because they go to church and, you know, they're a good person. That's why they think they're going to heaven. Because that's what these churches are teaching. They're teaching lies. They're teaching false religion. They're false prophets. And I had you turn to Romans chapter 16. Look at what Paul says. It says, now I beseech you, in verse 17, Romans 16, verse 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So Paul here warns not to listen to these false teachers, and he warns that there's false teachers that are going to be among you. In the book of Acts, he was crying, like saying that grievous wolves are going to come in, not sparing the flock, and they're going to, you know, and the thing is about a wolf in sheep's clothing, do you think that they're saved? Do you think that they're a brother? And in reality, they're a wolf that tries to creep into the church, and they're hard to spot because they got a good pretend sheep outfit on. Okay, they're going to come to you like an angel of light. The false prophets will come to you like an angel of light. The people that like Judas, you're going to have a hard time picking them out. Okay, Jude's warning in Jude. If you want to turn over there, Jude 1, the only chapter in Jude, Jude 1. Jude 1:3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." So we're supposed to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, right? Unto the saints. It's once delivered. There's only one faith. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Everything else is false. Amen. Everything else is a false way. Right. Everything else is a bunch of garbage. Amen. We shouldn't put up with it for even a second. Verse 4 says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It will therefore put you in remembrance. Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee." See, we're not supposed to fight the devil. That's not our job. We can't win that fight. You know, God has to protect us. If we were to say anything, it's the Lord rebuke thee. Okay, we're not supposed to, you know, be Billy Sunday up here pretending like we're fighting the devil and, you know, all this stupid stuff. Look, the devil, we can't even see him. Okay, and there's millions of devils out there. And, you know, that's our job is not to fight them. Our job is to fight and do the works that God gave us to do. We can't see that world. All we can do is see the works of that world. We can see the works of these filthy dreamers. You know, they're compared to people that were like in Sodom and Gomorrah, going after strange flesh. That's why you see in all these Presbyterian churches a bunch of fags running the churches now. A bunch of dykes being preachers. I mean, it's weird. Every church in Portland pretty much has a woman preacher or a rainbow flag hanging on the side of their walls. You know, it's disgusting. And so they've taken over everything else, and now they're trying to take over the Baptist churches via, Johnny Nixon and his little, you know, eunuchs or whatever. They were eunuchs, right? They're all eunuchs, so let them into the church and let them work with your kids. Anyway, so the Bible says that we're supposed to let God rebuke the devil, though. We can rebuke a false prophet, though. But look at verse 11 in Jude. It says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Cain, I don't have time to like flesh this whole thing out, but Cain, what was his deal? He was a works salvation guy. He offered God the works of his own hands, and you know, God didn't accept his works. You know, he was a works salvation false prophet is what he was, and he accepted Abel, and so he killed his own brother because Abel was a prophet. That's what the Bible says. He was the first persecuted prophet of God. And he was a works salvationist. And Balaam. Balaam, he wanted the money. That's why he was paid to curse Israel, and God wasn't letting him do it. But he still kept trying, you know. And then he ended up just having them fornicate with other people from Moab, and then God, you know, finally just had him killed. So Balaam was a false prophet. Cain was a false prophet. He was a worse salvationist. Balaam did it for the money, and Korah did it to gain advantage and corrupt God's ways. And that's kind of what is happening. You know, he's like, oh, we're all holy, you know. And that's basically what he said to Moses. He's like, you know, you take too much upon yourself, Moses, you know. And Moses is like, you know, if it's not me, then let hell open, you know. You're not going to die in a normal way, you know. Let hell be opened up and swallow. And that's exactly what happened. God opened up the earth, and they dropped straight into the pit of hell. False prophets. And, you know, and then Judas isn't mentioned in here, but, you know, Judas was a different type of false prophet. And Judas was the type of false prophet that we have to be the most leery of, because we can pick the ones out that we know that they're saying something different than what we believe. But the ones that pretend like they believe like us, but in reality they don't, those are the ones that are hard to spot. So, you know, and I'm not saying that we should go around looking for Judas, but Judas will creep in. Judas will come into this church at some point. You know, and I'm not saying we should play pin the tail on the Judas, but, you know, we got to be careful. The apostles warned us. Jesus warned us. They will come. They're going to come. Know it. Know what is going to happen. Okay? So, let's see. Still in Jude 1:12. These are spots in your feast of charity, and they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And, you know, that kind of corresponds to what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 7. Let's see if I can find the spot here. I'm in the wrong, definitely the wrong spot here. Sorry. Gotta go back to Mateo. Got my RV. It's messing me up because I got Mateo on one side and Matthew on the other. Speaking in tongues up here. All right. But it's talking about, so this corresponds with Matthew chapter 7, where it says that, let's see. Someone help me find. Okay. Okay, the Bible says, beware of false prophets. In verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. See how it says their fruit withereth? See, their fruits are not the real fruits. If they say they get people saved, they really aren't getting people saved. Okay, it says, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And, you know, it's basically saying that these people are bad people. Their fruit is twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So they're already dead while they're alive. They're like, I guess, you know, spiritual zombies, I guess you'd call it. I mean, that they're already going to hell. They're false prophets that can't be saved. And so they're going to be like Cain. They're going to be like Balaam. They're going to be like Korah. They're going to be like Judas. And we don't understand that, because people that are saved can't understand how people like that think. We can't understand why a reprobate would be a reprobate, or why they would do these evil things. But they're going to go after these different things and try to corrupt Christianity. They're going to try to corrupt our churches. They're going to try to make our name bad, make us to stink amongst everybody else. You know, when these, you know, so-called pastors molest a kid, and then it gets all over the news, oh, this pastor, you know, all that does is make Christians' name to stink, because that was a false prophet. That was someone that was going after strange flesh. And, you know, they're wicked people. But see, the world, the unsaved world, they don't know the difference. They're like, oh, yeah, these Christians. You know, and they lump us in with all these people like Pope Francis and Billy Graham and Franklin Graham and Joyce Myers and Benny Hinn and, you know, who else? Tell me who's some other bad. Oh, what was that guy's? Jefferson Bethke and who else? I can't think. Oh, what was the guy's name from Crossroads? Daniel Fusco, yeah. Guys like that. And so, you know, I'm sure eventually, you know, that guy's going to do something that's going to be horrific. You know, because he already is growing his hair out long and preaching, you know, and that's not the biggest sin in the world, but it is a sin. So if he's willing to break those least commandments, what bigger ones is he breaking also? But it says, these people are murmurers and complainers, walking after their own lusts and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. So these people, they speak great swelling words. I'm not like the greatest speaker in the world. I'm really not. And you probably already know that. But but there are great speakers that are pastors, but you know they're false prophets. Like Billy Graham, he is a great speaker, but he's a false prophet. Okay? And you notice that the devil seems to pick these people that are these great orators that can really, you know, oh, really, you know, like what was the guy? John Hagee. He actually has a good preaching voice. You know, too bad he was a false prophet. But those are the kinds of people that the devil picks, these people that have great swelling words and people are admiring them and how great they speak. You know, and they have this advantage. Like Charles Spurgeon and all these, you know, in Baptist churches, they have all these stories, and they're usually about Presbyterians and Methodists and stuff like that. I think the first time I ever had Timo come to our last church, a guy got up and all he did is preached about a Presbyterian. Wasn't it a Presbyterian? Guy that was the weeping preacher or something. It's like, I couldn't believe it, man. I mean, these Baptists hold these people up like Charles Spurgeon. He was a Calvinist. Charles Spurgeon was a Calvinist. He was a hyper-Calvinist. You know, he has, in his one of his books, he has a whole chapter about in defense of Calvinism. I mean, and most Baptist churches will say, oh, we're against Calvinism. But yet they'll lift up Charles Spurgeon and, you know, act like he's the prince of preachers, brother. He's, you know, he was a great Baptist of the past. No, he wasn't. He wasn't even saved. He's in hell right now. But these guys that speak these great swelling words, Bill, you know, they love, I already said his name, Billy Sunday. Yeah, the guy who would always fight the devil on the stage or whatever. You know, they love to talk about Billy Sunday. He wasn't even a Baptist. You know, I just don't understand why Baptists hold these old-time people in such high regard. You know, like George Whitfield. He could speak so loud that he didn't need a microphone when he talked. And Charles Wesley, he was the same. You know, these guys, you know, Charles Wesley didn't even believe in eternal security. And they're lifting these people up like they're these great men of God. Charles Wesley didn't believe. He believed in perseverance of the saints. So you have to, you won't even know if you're saved until, you know, you finally die. Did I do enough good works? You know, did you really persevere to the end? But let's skip through some of this. But let's go to Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to give you a sneak preview of Matthew chapter 24, verse 23. And Jesus warns us in this great sermon that he preaches, well, it's actually he's just teaching about when he's going to come back. But it says in Matthew 24, verse 23, it says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And who are the elect? Those are the people that are saved. So there's such great false prophets in the way that they could even deceive the elect if that was possible, you know. But for some reason, there's people that say that they're elect that think Billy Graham is saved. I mean, they think that Billy Graham is a great preacher. I know people that say, oh, I got saved at Billy Graham's thing. And it's like at one of his crusade. Yeah, they got saved at Billy Graham's crusade. But you know what he does? What he did? There would be altar workers from the Mormon Church, the Catholic Church, and all these other denominations, and people that sponsored him would be up there waiting to give him their literature. Billy Graham made the Catholic Church popular again. You know, he was wicked. But Jesus says in verse 25, "Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth, behold, he's in secret chambers, believe it not." We're not supposed to believe these false prophets that try to say, you know, Jesus came back, he's in secret chambers. You know, they probably got the guillotine set up, you know, around the corner. That's what's really going on in these verses, is that, you know, these false prophets are trying to trick people into coming out of hiding, the true Christians that will probably, no doubt, be in hiding, not able to have work, not able to have food unless you take the mark of the beast, you know, probably living off of whatever supplies you have. Here's a list of some false prophets, and obviously this isn't an all-inclusive list, but what I did is I just have some clips, some things that I you know, I mean, obviously I could go on for a whole sermon about Ray Comfort, but I don't want to. So, but Ray Comfort, number one, false prophet, okay? He says you have to repent and actually stop sinning to be saved. Okay, who's ever watched Ray Comfort's videos before? Okay, you know, and Ray Comfort, he'll say, "So when are you going to repent? When are you going to repent?" You know, and you know, it's funny. Pastor Anderson brought this to my attention one time. He was, you know, making fun of him, that he said he never gets anybody saved in his videos. It's true. Like, I've watched tons of Ray Comfort videos, and all he does is just finds the biggest weirdos he can find. You know, people that will fight back and forth with him so he can, you know, use his skillful little intellect, his little gimmicks against them. And they never get saved. Nobody ever gets saved. And he's a super huge false prophet. You know, I just watched a video the other day where people called in with the question that says, "Are people born gay?" You know, gay. And Ray Comfort said, "Yes, they are." I mean, flat out said that they're born gay. Okay, maybe he was, but you know, that's not true. That's a lie. You know, he said we're all born sinners, and that's just like that's just some normal sin, right? You know, the guy's a total wicked pervert. He says he doesn't even sin anymore. That's how much of a false prophet he is. How about Pope Francis? You know, he's the Pope right now. One of the quotes that I have from him says, you know, talking about an atheist, says, "But I don't believe, Father, I'm an atheist." And Pope Francis's response is, "But do good. We will meet one another there." You know, this is a discussion between an atheist and the Pope. "Oh, just do good, and you'll be in heaven too." What a liar. You know, that guy... You know, Pope Francis is a super huge false prophet. I mean, obviously, he's a Babylonian false prophet, total pagan. And, you know, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So Pope Francis says, "Do good and you'll be there." No. That's not. You're going to do good and you're going to go to hell. That's what the Bible says. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to have faith. And the Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So there's nobody that does good. There's nobody that's good enough to get themselves to heaven. So Pope Francis is a big, fat, stinking liar that wears a dress. Anyway, yeah, dresses like mama and looks like papa and dresses like mama or something like that. I don't know. Billy Graham, I've kind of brought him up a few times already, but, you know, here's a quote from Billy Graham, all right? Who's watched the video where he, like, actually is interviewed and says, okay, this is just a clip from it, okay? It says, I was going to try to use a Billy Graham voice, but I don't know if I could do it. "I think that everyone who knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. They may not even know the name of Jesus, and I think that they're saved and that they're going to be in heaven with us." Oh, yeah. So he's saying that even Buddhists and Muslims and all these other religions that don't even know the name of Jesus are part of the body of Christ and they're going to be saved. But people will say, "Bill, yeah, Billy Graham's saved." No, he's not. That's complete garbage and hogwash. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's Acts 4:12. The Bible says you have to be saved by Jesus. Okay, it's not just whatever religion and whatever light you're following is going to get you in. Paul Washer, he's one of my favorite ones to laugh at because he's such an idiot. But people fall for his preaching. You know, he's another one that has that like powerful speaking voice, and you know, he just gets all worked up, and you know, he kind of sounds like a sissy, really. But anyway, one of his quotes is, "My friend, if you repented and believed only in past tense, you're lost and going to hell." He also said, "If you don't have works, you're going to hell."
Yeah, it
so, you know, but what's the Bible says? It says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself," in 2 Timothy 2:13. The Bible says, once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, thou shalt be saved.
Right.
Doesn't say you might be. Doesn't say you have to keep on, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." That's John 3:18. Look at John 5. Look over at John 5. In my Bible, that is 1:5. Okay. John 5, verse 24. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," what's that say? "Hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." The moment you believe, you've passed from death unto life. You shall not come into condemnation. Shall not. That's what the Bible says, right? But this idiot saying, if you don't have the works, then you're going to hell. Is that what the Bible says? No. It says you believe, and you shall not come into condemnation. Here's another one. Joyce Meyer. I've been picked on her lately for some reason. I stay at the same hotel as her security guard, so maybe that's why. I don't know. But one of her quotes is, "I'm not poor, I'm not miserable, and I'm not a sinner." That is a lie from the pit of hell. "I didn't stop sinning until I finally got it through my thick head. I wasn't a sinner anymore." That's Joyce Meyer's quote. She's not a sinner anymore. Okay, well, grow your hair long. That's a sin right there. We can see it. And she looks like the Joker. Anyway. The Bible says, "But I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." 1 Timothy 2:12. So she's wrong the minute she walks up on the stage to preach. "If we say we have no sin," the Bible says, "we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." 1 John 1:8. Here's another one. John MacArthur. I really can't stand John MacArthur. He's got a show. What's his show called on the radio? Grace to You. Yeah, more like Death, Hell to You. That's what it really should be called. Here's a quote from John MacArthur. "It was the death that was efficacious, not his blood. Christ did not bleed to death. The shedding of blood has nothing to do with bleeding. It simply means death. Nothing in his human blood saves."
Wow.
"It is not his blood that I love, it is him. It is not his bleeding that saved me, but his dying." So he's saying that the blood of Christ is not the precious blood. That is blasphemy.
Amen.
That is straight wicked. That's straight from the pit of hell.
Right.
And he also says that you can take the mark of the beast and still be saved. I don't know how he comes with that conclusion, but the Bible says that you have not forgiveness if you take the mark of the beast. And the king, but the Bible says, here's what the Bible says, John MacArthur. It says, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood."
Right.
Revelation 1:5. Okay, he washed us from our sins with his own blood.
Right.
That means his blood is special. His blood can wash away our sins, okay? Despite what that heretic John MacArthur says. And it says, "For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." And that's Leviticus 17:11. The blood is what makes atonement for the soul. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth. He was the precious sinless Lamb of God. And here's another one. Here's one that people love to post his little comments on Facebook. A.W. Tozer, who's ever seen his memes on Facebook, okay? A.W. Tozer. And Ray Comfort loves this guy, so that just makes me know, alarm bells start going off as soon as I, you know, see A.W. Tozer. But here's a quote from A.W. Tozer on Lordship Salvation. It says, in the Bible, the offer of pardon on the part of God is conditioned upon intention to reform on the part of man. There can be no spiritual regeneration till there has been a moral reformation. That's from the best of A.W. Tozer. Well, I would say that's the worst of A.W. Tozer. You know, he's saying that unless you have a, you can't be saved basically unless you have a moral reformation, unless you turn over a new leaf, you make Jesus the Lord of your life or whatever. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? In Acts 16:30, it says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Acts 16:31. Okay? That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say we have to have a moral reformation. When I'm out soul winning, I don't say, hey, you know what? You really need to stop sinning. You need to stop sinning so you can be saved. First, stop, repent right now. Start crying. I mean, that's ridiculous, you know? And anybody that tries to say that garbage to me, I remember the day I got saved, I remember it very clearly. And I didn't, you know, I guess I didn't repent enough or something. But, you know, I knew that I was going to hell. You know, that's what, you got to know that you're a sinner. You got to know you're going to hell. And that's what I was afraid of. I was afraid of going to hell. I didn't want to go to hell. So that's why I got saved. How about John Hagee? Let's look at John Hagee. That's Joe's favorite preacher. He used to go to his church. I'm just kidding. He did go to his church before, though. You listening, Joe? No. Quote, in defense of Israel. So it's from a commercial, I guess, that have you ever seen a commercial where it says, in defense of Israel will prove that Jesus did not come to earth to be the Messiah. And that since Jesus refused by word and deed and claimed to be Messiah, how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered? In defense of Israel. That's from a commercial that John Hagee, you know, said. So he said that Jesus did not come to earth to be the Messiah. Well, you know, what's the Bible say? The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. John 4:25 and 4:26. So the Bible destroys everything that John Hagee says. And John Hagee is just, he just is a Israel flag wave. He probably sleeps with the Israeli flag on. You know, I mean, he probably has his prayer shawl on at night. I don't know. His rim fan pajamas or something. So, but C.I. Schofield. Okay, here's one that the Baptist, this is what really got crept into the Baptist churches and just ruined so many things. You know, the Baptists won't accept the gap theory, but they'll just accept the rapture theory that he put in the Bible and all the stuff about Israel. But here's a quote from C.I. Schofield. It says, it is evident that the really dangerous sect in Corinth was that which said, and I of Christ. They rejected the new revelation through Paul of the doctrines of grace, grounding themselves probably on the kingdom teaching of our Lord as a minister of the circumcision, seeming oblivious that a new dispensation has been introduced by Christ's death. So what is that saying? That you know, they were rejecting the new revelation of Paul, that there was a new dispensation after Christ, okay? But what's the Bible say? The Bible says, in the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Luke 16:16. So, you know, the law and the prophets were until John, and then after Jesus came, then this is the new dispensation, okay? So, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But they'll take that verse and flip it on its head and say, you got to divide it up. It's all these different dispensations. No, it's not. stupidity. The Bible says a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. And C.I. Scofield was not the husband of one wife. He was he left his wife and left her destitute and married another one, and they got yoked up with all these mysterious people and came out with somebody with money backed him to make that Scofield Reference Bible. Then they gave it to all the preachers in these Baptist colleges. He didn't even want, if you look at his foreword in the Bible, he didn't even want to use the King James Version, but it was the most popular version at the time. And so he just went with the King James Version. He wanted to use like the NASB or something like that. But the guy was a total heretic, and but yet Baptist churches everywhere are promoting his Bible. Turn to your Scofield Reference number, turn to page 1260 in your Scofield Reference Bible. I have a Scofield Reference Bible, and sometimes the page of the Bible is like this, and then the rest of it's just like his notes. Really weird. How about Eric Hovind? He's repent of your sins. He's like a Ray Comfortite. He said that Ray Comfort is the one that got him saved. Okay. Now, I don't have time to get into all of Eric Hovind's stuff, but he says on how to be saved, on if you look on his creation.org, how to be saved, part of it says, second, repent of your sin. This means you must turn completely away from your sin. And it's more than just saying sorry. It's a complete change of direction as you endeavor by God's power to go His way instead of the way of sin. So who in here has turned completely all from your sins? Anybody? Anthony? Okay. All right. See me after the service, Anthony. But the Bible says, and God repented of the evil that He said He was going to do unto them and did it not in Jonah 3:10. Okay? Because they believed God, then they did the works. Okay, believing comes first, then comes the works. In Mark 1:15, it says, repent ye and believe the gospel, which is believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The Bible says repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins does not occur in the King James Version. It only occurs in the modern perversions. I think the ESV says literally, repent of your sins. And they're just making stuff up. Sam Gipp, he's another fun one. He denies Jesus as his Christ or his Messiah. Now look, if you deny that Jesus is the Christ, you're an antichrist, the Bible says. He said, here's a quote from Sam Gipp in one of his sermons. It says, you know what I never called Jesus? I never called my Messiah. You know why? You say, oh, he's my Messiah. He ain't your Messiah. Sorry, I've got to turn the page here. He says, he ain't your Messiah. Unless you're a Jew, he's not your Messiah. Are you from Gentile stock? All right, we were never promised a Messiah. Okay, didn't John Hagee say something along the same term, right? That we're not, Jesus didn't come to be the Messiah. Well, he said, unless you're a Jew, he's not your Messiah. But again, in the Bible it says, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found Messias, which is being interpreted the Christ. Okay, so Jesus means he's the Messiah. Okay, John 1:41. But who is a liar that he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And that's First John 2:22. And I'm going to just go with one more. Peter Ruckman. So Peter Ruckman, who knows who Peter Ruckman was? He's dead now. But here's what he says about the original plan of salvation. The original plan of salvation was works. And in the millennium, the last plan of salvation is, again, pure works. He's saying that you have to just work to be saved. He said in the Old Testament you had to work to be saved. And he's like one of those people that you got to rightly divide the truth. It's works, and then it's grace. Then it's works, then it's, doesn't make sense. Here's what he says. Contrary to every immature milksop Baptist baby in your town or city, he liked to call people names, Genesis 3:22 corrects the kiddies. Peter Ruckman's Bible references. Okay, in the Old Testament, you find salvation before the law, by grace through faith under the law, by faith and works. Okay, but what's the Bible say? But with whom he was grieved 40 years, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he sware that they shall not enter in to his rest, but to them that believe not? This is the wilderness after the giving of the law by Moses, right? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So because the Hebrews, the children of Israel, did not believe, they could not enter in. They could not enter into the land of Canaan. Not all those people were saved. Newsflash. Korah went right into hell, right? Was he saved? No, because you can't lose your salvation. So otherwise he would have went straight into hell and been saved. And that's not what the Bible teaches. And, you know, I had some other ones, but... Yeah, I wanted to go over C.S. Lewis, but I'll skip that one for now. I want to do a whole sermon about C.S. Lewis because people just love to quote C.S. Lewis like he's just this great character too, but he's not. So, you know, but the Bible says people that believe in works, they're going to go to hell. You know, and, you know, I hate work salvation heretics. I hate work salvation, the doctrine of work salvation. Look in Matthew 7:21. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" It says many are going to do that. Oh, Lord, Lord, I preached in your name. All these people that I just got through talking about, they're all going to say that. But they're going to say, and what's Jesus going to say to them? "Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." He never knew them. So all these people that say you can lose your salvation, you can get it back, that's impossible because Jesus said, "I never knew you." But, you know, people that believe in work salvation will take you to these verses, but these are the very verses that are going to condemn them on Judgment Day. And I don't have time to go into all this, but, you know, again, out soul winning, people want to proclaim their good works. They want to get to heaven on their own. You know, this guy that I talked to last week that said he was Lutheran, I tried to show him what the Bible says, and he didn't care. He didn't want to hear what the Bible had to say. All he cared about was what he believed, and he wanted to stay in what he believed. And how many people go soul winning? Raise your hand if you go soul winning and you hear people say, "Well, I'm just going to stick with my religion." You hear it every week, right? And that's because all these work salvation teachers are out here filling their minds with this garbage. You know, that's why we have to make the difference out there. That's why we have 4 soul winning times a week. That's why we go out by the droves and try to get people saved. We try to go into every corner of the city, and why we try to go into small towns and get people saved. You know, turn to Romans 4. Actually, turn to Revelation chapter 20. I'm almost done. Revelation chapter 20, and I'm going to read for you in Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect." So people that want to live by the law and say that I'm going to just go ahead and go by my works, the Bible says their faith is made void. They can believe in Jesus all they want, but if they're trying to count on their works and believing in Jesus, they're going to go straight to hell. Because it's not by works, it's by faith. Here in Revelation 20, look at verse 11. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." So they're going to be judged. The very things that they say are getting them into heaven are the very things that are going to condemn them. They're going to be judged. You want to be judged by your works, God's going to say? Okay, well, I'm going to judge you by your works then. And here, this is how it turns out for them. Verse 13. "And as he gave up the dead, which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works," just like they wanted. And it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. because they want to be judged by their works, you know? And that's why it just bothers me every time I walk away from someone that says, I just want to be judged. You know, I'm just gonna go on my way, the way I want to go. But the Bible says that everyone that climbeth up another way is a thief and a robber. There is no other way. It's just like you just want to grab him and shake him and go, what's wrong with you? You know? You're not getting in that way. The Bible says it's by faith. And you know what? I'm just going to finish this whole chapter off. I had a lot of stuff in here, but I'm going to move on to chapter 8. But I do want to go cover these verses really quickly. Build your house on the solid rock, not the shifting sand. I hate the shifting sand. You know, that's a bad place to build your house on. Or in the West Hills in Portland. You know, you don't want to build your house in the shifting mud either. So I've been dealing with the landslides for the last few days. There's been like 3 different landslides, and someone's car got ran off the road with one. It's pretty crazy. But you know, when you build your house on a muddy hill where it rains all the time, you know, your house is going to slide down. The earth is going to move. But verse 24 in Matthew chapter 7 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So what's Jesus saying? He's saying all these things in chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. He said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So if you do these sayings, you hear the sayings of Jesus, the things that he says that we should do, the way we should live, being warned of false prophets, for instance, you know, not listening to false prophets and knowing them by their fruits, you know, you're a wise man. You've built your house upon a rock. The Bible says in verse 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And who's that rock that it's talking about? It's talking about Jesus Christ. He's the rock of our salvation. We can count on him. He's the rock that there's no shifting sand under him. We can count on him. We can count on what the Bible teaches, and all the other things can fall by the wayside. It says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Because great is the fall of all these people that are not saved, all these people that want to trust in their works, all these false prophets, their house is going to fall to the ground, it's going to be destroyed. It says great will be the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So Jesus was different from what they were used to. Just like, you know, this movement is different than the movement that people are used to. And people can't handle it. People get upset. I was looking at one of my sermons and on YouTube, and it had one unlike. I was like, and I put a comment on there, haters gonna hate. But I think it was about, I forgot what the sermon was, but it's like, you know, there's haters out there that they can't handle the preaching, but yeah, they'll tune in, you know, just to go get mad, push a little unlike button, but they're too cowardly to say anything. But the Bible says that Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected, you know, and we have not rejected him. The builders have rejected him. The Pharisees rejected Christ. And, you know, he's going to be that stone that comes out from the mountains without hands and smashes the big statue into a million pieces. And Christ is going to rule and reign in this earth, and we're going to rule and reign with him. We might be the ones that are laughed at now. We might be the ones that people think are weird now. We might be the ones that people think are crazy now. But you know what? We're going to rule and reign with Christ. That's what the Bible says. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you trust him as your Savior, and, you know, that's all it takes. You know, and we get to rule and reign with him. And the works we do, that just adds to the greatness of eternity for us. So I'm going to end that with there, and we'll be in chapter 8 the next time. Let's see, in 2 weeks, we'll be in chapter 8. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you
for your word. And Lord,
let's pray that we'd be aware of these false prophets, Lord, these wolves that come in sheep's clothing. Lord, that we would, Lord, we would trust, we wouldn't trust everybody. We would trust no one, but not expect everybody to be that person either, Lord. And that we would just be wise in how we deal with each other, Lord. I pray that we'd have a spirit of unity at this church. And I just pray that, Lord, that we'd be vigilant, we'd be sober, and that, Lord, we'd be fit for your use, Lord, and that you'd continue to build this church. In Jesus' name, amen.